It is really a pleasure to introduce our speaker to you this afternoon. My first Out of Georgia convention was shared with this speaker, and it was her first Out of New York convention since she had been in the General Service Office. I was shaking in my boots then, and I'm shaking in my boots now. But I want you to hear this dedicated AA gal there.
Thank you, Margaret. Hi, everyone. My name is Beth Coleman, and I am an alcoholic. First off, I'd like to thank the committee here for inviting me to be with you this weekend. I have the feeling that I'm home here, and it's interesting, I was looking out over the audience before, and I could be right in the New York meeting in my home. I am a member of the Manhattan Group because I know quite a few faces here. I've seen them before over the years, and of course, I'm seeing a lot of new people, which is wonderful. I feel that each one of you are a very vital part of my recovering in AA. It's a matter of life and death with me, because I wouldn't be here right now if it hadn't been for AA and all of you. I also want to thank, before I go on, I always forget to thank the committee and everyone for the flower. It's just lovely, and every time I get one, it seems to stand out in my mind because I don't remember ever getting a flower until I came into AA. And it seems to be just right, because it's a nice thought, and I can appreciate it now being sober. It's just lovely. And you're all very kind to me and seeing to it that everything is going along very well. I have nothing to complain about. I would like to share with you a little bit about myself, the way I was before I drank, because I'm an alcoholic who feels that I had a problem long before I drank, and perhaps a little bit about my drinking and what AA has done for me. I don't have to tell you it's a miracle that has happened in my life, and I'm grateful to be an alcoholic. And I can understand this now. When I first heard it at an AA meeting, I didn't feel very happy. I didn't feel grateful to be an alcoholic. But today I can honestly believe it and feel it, because I feel that if I hadn't been, I would be a very unhappy person now. But through my alcoholism, a progressive illness, I was forced to do something about it. And thank God for AA being an answer. And I found a way of life, which I wouldn't have had if I hadn't been an alcoholic. I was a very shy person, and I lived in a dream world. I had many dreams as a child before I took a drink, and I know now that none of these dreams would ever have come true, although I used to feel that they would. They're coming true now in AA, through AA. And I took my first drink at 16, and I got drunk. My father was an alcoholic. I had no knowledge of alcoholism, and I thought that he was a bad person. I never heard anything against him. My family did not talk about him. They always used to say he'd be a nice person, but I was ashamed of his behavior, and I carried the guilt of his drinking right up until I came to AA. I blamed him, and because he disappeared and didn't accept his responsibilities, and even when I was doing the exact same thing, I didn't identify at all. I was different. I know today, of course, he was sick, and he wasn't as fortunate as I am to find AA. I got drunk the first time, and it seemed to release me. It gave me a feeling of belonging, which I never had. I was, as I said, very shy, and I did not know how to participate in anything. In fact, I just didn't know how to live, and I had every advantage and chance to learn. But apparently, I had other problems, and I was just interested in this dream world, and I didn't like anything unpleasant, and I didn't like reality. And so I drifted along, and when alcohol seemed to give me this release, and life didn't seem so painful then, and I could do things that other people could do, I even got so that I could love and hate, and I didn't seem to have these feelings before. But they're always very dramatic. I always became angry at the wrong time, lost my temper. I was the type of person who could never make a decision about life. Everything was done on impulse, and there are a couple of incidents in my life that have stayed with me. I've remembered them that happened that are typical of my behavior back in the early days when I was in my teens or just out of my teens. I was always a follower, never a leader. This friend of mine from my hometown thought it might be nice if I went down to the big city. I was born in a small town upstate New York to find out about the Navy. And incidentally, this is World War II. And I went down to the city and I was frightened, but I could never speak up for myself. And as I mentioned earlier, I was very backward. So by 5 o'clock that day, I was sworn into the Navy. And this was a bitter pill to swallow because I didn't want to go anyplace. And I can remember not accepting this at all. I was not able to accept things in life. To me, that's a wonderful word now, being able to accept things that come along and not kick and rebel against them. And I always did this. So I kicked and rebelled, but I still went in the Navy. There was no way to get out of it. So, again, alcohol came into my life. I'm away from home, and I was sort of free. Although I was the type at this time to be frightened of rules and regulations, like they used to threaten us with, if we smell alcohol on your breath, you'll be discharged, and I believed them. And I wouldn't drink when I went out on leave. Later on, it didn't matter at all because my illness got progressive, and it didn't, and I lost my fear. But I spent 2 years in the service. Well, I was in New York a year and a half, and another incident comes along. My roommate had thought she would like to go overseas. They were sending the waves over to Hawaii. And I was always very dependent upon individuals, and I thought, oh, she's going to go without me. So I hurried up and made this overseas board within a week, and I was on my way to Hawaii, and she never did leave New York. And again, I realized, instead of being aware of my own inadequacies, I decided then and there that I would never be close to anyone again. I would not be hurt ever again. So day by day, on a 24-hour program, I built a shell right around me. And it's dreadful because I wound up all alone, drinking in New York. Because I finally got out of the service, and I don't know how I got out without a dishonorable discharge, but I did. And I didn't have many escapades in the service. I drank when I had a chance, and I overindulged, but they were on lucky days like VJ Day, and everyone else was drunk too, so they didn't notice me. And then I started to live in New York. My attitude at this time was just to have fun, work. I didn't really have a worry in the world, and above all, never let anyone know how I feel inside. This was my biggest aim, and I thought that was the way everyone else behaved. I didn't have an aim or a purpose. I didn't know the meaning of doing anything for myself, the way we in AA learn to stay sober for ourselves. We do things for other people, for ourselves. We give. I didn't know anything about this. That's why I feel that I have been given another chance, a new life, really, because I didn't live at all before 30 years of age, and that was the age I was when I finally landed in AA. I'm an alcoholic who knew about Alcoholics Anonymous for a long time before I got sober, and this was a desperate, dreadful way to drink. I went to my first meeting in 1949 out on Long Island. It was a gal I had worked with for a long time. I hadn't known she had a problem. I was very involved with my own. But my employer took the time to tell me about AA. And I was not the nicest one to be talking to at the moment because I was in the process of telling him off. I thought that I was obligated to do this, that people should know about themselves. And I took it upon myself to tell them. And he was kind because in the middle of it, he said, you're an alcoholic, which I didn't particularly like, and would you like to see someone from AA? And I said, all right. And this gal came over, and she took me home with her. And she didn't question me. She was just very nice to me and took me to my first meeting. I heard several things at the meeting. I was 28 at this point, and the speakers at that time were, you know, around 40 or so, and I thought they were old. And one man had lost his business. He'd lost his family. As I heard an AA gal say at my group the other night, she said, alcohol didn't let me do anything, and that's exactly the way it affected me. I hadn't had a family to begin with. I hadn't been married. I didn't lose a great deal. I didn't realize, have an awareness of what alcohol was doing to, within me. But materially, I'd lost nothing, and everything in my life was based on material things. So I felt that these folks, they ought to quit because they'd had such a rough time of it, but that I was too young to stop living. And this is a deadly attitude to have, because if you're an alcoholic, you don't get any better. You keep drinking, and you get sicker and sicker. And during that two-year period from 1949 until August of 51, everything bad came into my life. I don't regret it today because I feel that I had to go through this in order to reach my point of surrender. I couldn't have done it. My mind was very closed, and I don't know what happens when all of a sudden you're aware of what's happening to you, and you realize, you take a little look at yourself, and you realize that drinking is your problem, and that something is the matter with you. At least that's the way I felt about myself when I was in the city hospital once again in a psychopathic ward. And up to this time, I was always going there because I felt I deserved it. I was always one to punish myself. But this time, I had been placed there. That's a nice way to put it, being placed. I was delivered by my husband, who was drunk himself and stayed drunk long enough to get me out. And then he went to Knickerbocker Hospital, which was a ground for resentment. But he stayed there 5 days. And on the fourth day, I was drinking wine. In fact, I always drank wine all the way through. And cherry wine is awful. Give you your ache all over and you get awful sick. And it's just not very pleasant. So on the night before he was to come home, he had written me a letter that day, and he said he was going to do something about his problem because he'd been in and out of AA too. And I had better try it or else. Well, I was scared because I had the realization that I could very well be on the street because I was close to it and I knew it. So I stopped drinking. That was a half a bottle of wine left, and I stopped that night. Well, the next day when he came home, I was very shaky and sick, and his sponsor brought him in, Tom, who was an AA with an AA wife, Lib. Tom brought him home, and nobody said anything to me. You know, they probably said hello, and they started taking him to meetings. They were 12-stepping him, and I used to trail along, and finally, after a month, Lib said to me one night, you know, there's a wonderful organization called Al-Anon, and I think that they would be a big help to you, to help you to understand your husband's problem. And I'd like to arrange for you to have lunch with one of the gals tomorrow. And I turned to her and I said, well, you know, I'm an alcoholic too. And she said, that's slick. I'll always remember her words. And I wasn't too enthusiastic because I still wasn't, I was afraid to drink, but I wasn't getting the benefit at this point. But I was accepted, and no one questioned me. I wouldn't tell Lib that I had been in Bellevue for months because I thought she wouldn't like me. And then I heard her story, and she had a lot of trouble too. And this is a wonderful thing in AA. You find here that no one questions you, that you're not judged. The only thing AA want to do is help you stay sober with love and understanding. And I had needed this all my life. I had needed guidance, a plan. I'd never had any of this. And besides, even if it had been given to me, I don't think I would have taken advantage of it. I had to do it just the way things came into my life. And so, after 2 months, my husband passed away sober, and it was at this time that I started to stay sober for me. It's amazing how things happen. I can remember going into a liquor store on the way home from the hospital, but turning around and running out because I didn't really want that drink. Then going home and finding Tom or Lib on the doorstep waiting for me, or a phone call. Many things like this that helped me get through each 24 hours until I was able to receive this wonderful release that we receive in AA of wanting to be sober, and I never thought this would happen. I used to hear speakers say it. Women would get up and say that they no longer wanted to drink. I said, well, I was a doubting Thomas, and I never believed, well, maybe I was still different. But if you stay around and you still go to meetings, everything they say happens, it's good, happens. And I slowly began to realize that it was going to be entirely up to me, as an individual too, to get as much as I could that was being offered to me from AA. That I could be as happy as I wanted to be. If I wanted to be negative, like I can remember my sponsor saying to me so clearly, so I'd go there maybe on a night and I'd be down and out about something and bill collector after me or something. And she'd say, oh, Beth stepped out of the hearse tonight. And I wouldn't like her for saying that, but she was telling me the truth. And I slowly began to realize that life could be different for me. All I had to do was have a willingness and to listen. And it was meetings, just as the ones we're attending here now. I couldn't begin to tell you the many dividends that have come along in my life. First of all, my very life. I feel at the age of 30, I was in a world that I knew nothing about and I didn't know how to live. So I was given our 12 steps and our slogans and the Serenity Prayer. The Serenity Prayer was the first thing that I learned by heart in many, many years. And this was amazing that I could memorize these few lines and how good they were, because they seemed to solve everything that came along to me in this time, because I had resentment. And I learned soon in AA that I cannot afford resentment. I believe what the folks who came along ahead and who were here long before me, what they said about keeping it simple and the things that I can afford and cannot afford, such as anger. Like I've heard people say sometimes, that it's good to blow your stack. For me, it's not good. And this is, incidentally, only my opinion. And I've been given a tool here in AA for every single thing that I can work on within myself, which is wonderful that I have a whole group of people and a higher power who will always be here. See, before my AA life, people disappeared on me, and I was always left alone, it seemed. I had nothing within myself and no one else to rely on. But here, I have all of you, and I have a higher power, and I need never be lonely again. And so here I am at 30, learning how to live. I didn't know how to work with people. I never considered another person's thought. It would never occur to me to do anything for anyone, to even think of doing it. It was always me, me, me. I found that there is much, much to learn. But I heard an AA say one time that this is not, we're not traveling to any definite destination. This is a journey, and I like to look at it that way. Sometimes I think we in AA maybe expect a lot of ourselves. I know I do, and I get a little upset sometimes when I'm not thinking as well and as beautifully as I should be, you know, and my thoughts aren't the best. But I must remember that I can only do just a little bit each day, and I don't have to be perfect. Gee, I really wanted to be perfect. But I must always remember, too, that I certainly came here to AA imperfect. I was far from perfect, and I was accepted exactly as I walked in here, with nothing. In fact, everything bad. And to me, this is love. And it's something that I must work on. I find it hard. It isn't an easy thing. But that, to me, is a key word, and I see it up here, acceptance. It meant a lot to me in learning how to love. I can remember having hour talks with my sponsor who would say, you don't have to like everybody, but you have to love them. I couldn't understand this. It was just painful to me. But I'm working on it. No one says I have to have this feeling every single minute or forever. But if I can have it for 1 second in my AA life, I'll be grateful. As I said earlier, I've been given so much, the dividend of being here with all of you, the knowledge that I never have to be alone again. And each one of us have, we're all given the tremendous privilege of being able to carry this message of AA, which is the only one we have, to alcoholics, no matter where they are. And they're all over the world right now. They're alcoholics in all languages, in all countries, and they need our help. And we're lucky that we're well today to be able to do this. I'd like to close with my version of a famous prayer, the fisherman's prayer. I know some of you must have heard it. Oh God, be good to me. The sea is so great and my boat is so small. I thank you too, God, for AA, which has taught me to steer a safe course and a happy course through life. Bless you all.
Thank you, Beth. Sorry. Wonderful message. Thank you for coming to Georgia and sharing this story with you, with us. Things do start happening to you when you come into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Beth talked about acceptance up here. We'd also like to call your attention to the signs at each end of the platform here, which was the theme of the last international, I Am Responsible. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion, and is the spiritual foundation of our tradition. If there is anyone present from the press, radio, or TV, please respect our anonymity by using the last initial and first name of the people present only, please. Thank you, Francis, and thank you again, Beth. As it is customary at an AA meeting, will you rise and let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.